when I start with a nice word on Parshas Shoftim. Sich Safre Koide, she brings for Mendel Levurke, and the Pusik of the Sukkum Luchum Atzai Vashasun Hashem Adakechu. So sometimes a person takes a certain path, a certain derech, this is the way he behaves, this is what he does, and he does it always. He gets so used to it that he can't do anything different anymore, even when he wants to. And automatically, you know, you can't always be doing the same thing, so it's not good. He says, "V'lesukim luchum atzayvu." You shouldn't have that one matzav that you're always going to be in. Pensune Hashem alekeichu. You want to make sure that Hashem is always happy with what you're doing, and automatically, you have to do things accordingly. You can't say, "Well, this is how I do it." It's good if you're doing the right thing at the right time, but when it's time to change, you have to make sure that it's always being lerutz and lefnei Hashem, he calls it. And that's why, as much as a person wants to grow and as much as a person wants to become closer to Hashem, he always has to tweak his ways and act accordingly and make sure that whatever he is doing is appropriate for that time and place. He also brings later another word, also in the same Seder, Parsha Shoftim, Vatu loy chay nusen luch Hashem alekeichu, from the Rebbe Binnam. He said a person should, similar idea, a person shouldn't have a derech, this is what he always does. Right? You have to be able to have the loy chayin. It shouldn't always be the same. Hashem wants that you should always be able to serve Hashem properly. Automatically, you can't be stuck in a certain way. When it comes to different middas and different druchim, different things that people do, obviously there are things that in general we'll call the good things that people do and the bad things people do. The good ways to behave and the bad ways to behave, right? And in general, you know, good things are good to do always and bad things are bad to do always. But obviously there's always the different situations that bring out different things in people. It's nice to be a giving person, for example, but if you're always giving and you're giving every time your child tantrums, you're obviously doing the wrong thing. Or if you're giving, or if the giving is causing you to be giving to bad people or become close to bad people, that's also the wrong thing. You have to know how to have a healthy boundary and say no. Things like, and the same thing the other way around, saying no and turning people down and being selfish is obviously not a good thing, but sometimes it's just important. You have to know how to do that. These are typical examples, and it's a very well-known yesoid in Yiddishkeit, in Avodas Hashem, to be able to make sure that even good things are done for the good reasons at the good times, and they're not done for the wrong reasons at the wrong times. The same thing is the other way around. We always have to be tweaking everything accordingly to be in line with Hashem's rutzen. So let me read a question. Dear Bagrun, I listen to you to your weekly shiurim and read your weekly essays and appreciate your content immensely. Thank you. I'm fascinated by your book, along with everyone, and the four personality type breakdown, and I referred it to many. Thank you for that as well. I'm writing in desperation on how to deal with a people pleaser. Where is it coming from? What's the goal? Is it a personality disorder? How can one watch their closest relatives suffer immensely as they continuously take the other side? I'm referring to one person specifically, and I've watched it closely multiple times. This isn't a one-time scenario or coincidence. It is truly painful to see him burning his own bridges time and again while he continues to suffer as well. I can understand the need to please others, but what happens when it becomes unhealthy and without limits? The outsider often doesn't even know that he took their side. What is it that they can't validate other people's pain? He's a good-hearted person and will do favors for anyone. How do these natures exist simultaneously? He has been told that it's unfair to his family, in which he has not responded. There is a concept of Chayechu Koidman, in which one needs to take his own life into account first. This doesn't mean one should be selfish, but what happens when one is always out to please the public while stepping and hurting on those closest to him? What causes this people-pleasing, and is there any hope for such a person to change? My thoughts are that he may be a very selfless person and expects his family to be the same, and negate their feelings and pain and pretend they don't exist. There have been very hard times in our family, and a bit of validation and sticking up for the family would have gone a very long way. What is it that makes him incapable? I'm amazed by your mahalach and very much looking forward to your response. Thank you, and atzlocha vayta. That was a little cryptic. I hope that you got the point of the question. I think that this writer is describing somebody who's always pleasing the public without noticing how people around him are getting stepped on doing so, and wondering how could that coexist, like being so helpful to some people and ignoring other people's pain, and if only he'd be more validating to the people closer to him, etc. And that's the basic idea of what this is describing. Now, I usually don't address theoretical questions. I mean, the question started with how do you deal with such a person, but it didn't get into any details about what the problem with this person is and how it's really hurting you. But I assume that the point of the question is, what do I do if I'm affected by this kind of behavior or personality? Because if that's not the question, it's not really your business, which means, I just want to clarify this before I start, If your question is that it would be so nice if this person was more considerate of me and not only other people, for example, okay, so too bad. I mean, we're not here to fix people. And the fact that you would want somebody to be more considerate of you instead of other people would be more validating or more understanding. You know, that's not something I could help you necessarily with. Obviously, if it's something specific you want, you could always figure out how to communicate it. But sometimes it's just best to understand that you can only work on yourself and fix yourself and do the right thing. And when other people make mistakes, that's their mistakes and their opportunity that they either take or leave on growing and doing the right thing. If the question is, how do I deal with it? Because it really is getting on my nerves and it's affecting me directly, and I want to understand it better so that I can work with it, obviously it's a different question. Let me just say it this way. If the person writing the letter would be the one pleasing other people and wondering about himself, how can I help myself? That's also a different question. But in any case, without getting theoretical about why this happens, I do want to address somebody who's living with or being affected by such a person to just understand it better and be able to help yourself with that understanding. It's very important just to understand, whenever we talk about any ideas or behaviors or tendencies or styles or personalities, right and wrong are very relative terms. Very relative terms. It's fear and unfear is a very relative term. Now, is it fear what this person is doing to me? I think it's unfear. I don't think that person should be doing this to me. Or is that person right for doing this? I think they should be doing something else. It's all relative. It's all relative. You have to understand that. I mean, everyone has the right to choose, the right to have an opinion, the right to fool themselves, but then to be convinced that they're more right than someone else. And it's very hard to say, unless you're quoting a halacha or a pusik or whatever it is, that this is the right thing and that's the wrong thing. That's all relative. There's definitely a lot of Ishkal Yusha Bainav Yasa. In Sefer Yeshia, we find that the Sefer Yeshia ends with the fact that Ishkal Yusha Bainav Yasa. So generally, the typical understanding is that it was a problem. There was no Melech B'Yisrael, there was no Novi, there was no one Shoifet, and automatically people doing whatever they wanted, right? But we know this idea of not ending a cipher with something bad, which means there must be something good in that as well. And the point is that there was nobody leading Klal Yisrael, each person was doing what they felt was right. It definitely brought a lot of problems, but on the other hand, at least they all thought they were doing the right thing. I mean, they weren't looking to do bad things. So now it's up to people's opinions, and in general, there's something that happens all the time where people have different ideas about things, and when I think you're doing the wrong thing and you think I'm doing the wrong thing, so what's left? We're gonna be trying to judge each other and please each other, or we're gonna have to understand that we each make our own decisions in life, and at some point what I think is right I'm gonna be doing even though you think it's wrong, and the other way around. There is something about extremes that's no good in general. That's the idea that Chazal talk about and Rambam talks about. A person shouldn't be doing too much, whether just as an example when it comes to tzedakah. Chazal teach us, a person shouldn't give away all his money, or a person shouldn't be doing too much of a good thing or too little of a good thing, obviously. So, but in the gray area alone, there's a lot of different opinions. There are people that have ideas about how much should we take in guests, for example. Right? So how many couples disagree on this? I want to have a lot of guests in our house. I think it's a great thing to have guests. I think it's a terrible thing to have guests. You have guests, you can't give attention to your children. So what do we do now? Is it right or wrong? The answer is, it's up for grabs. There's opinions. I think that when we have guests, even if it means that my children get less attention, they see that you have guests, it's a good chinuch. Even if they don't like it, they should learn not to be so selfish. And you think that if we have guests and it's on their cheshbon, it means we're putting other people first, and it means we're giving less to our children. If we can't handle both at the same time, then the children come first. Those are two valid opinions. I think that we should always be giving rides in the car, even if it makes other people uncomfortable, because that's part of giving ourselves away for other people. We don't have cars for ourselves. And you think that, when the family is traveling, you're taking other people, it becomes uncomfortable. That's not the right thing to do. It's fine for people to have different opinions. So when somebody gets stuck on why is that person doing something that he thinks is right when I think it's wrong, you have to realize that it's all debatable. Even the idea that I just mentioned of Lolem al yivazuz udim yosim mechoymash, Chazal clearly tells us you shouldn't give away more of your money than a fifth. Right? Maser, you have to give. You give till a fifth, which is midas chesidim. But it's a good thing to do, but not something that but more than that you shouldn't do. And there's a well-known Tanya. The Tanya talks about it more than once, where he says that that's only if you're just giving away for no reason. But if you're giving away because you need a tikkun, a kapura, a tshiva, that you're allowed to do. Just like you would give away all your money to have refias a give, you can give away all your money to have refias a nefesh. So there you go. You have a guy who's giving away all his money, and people tell him, hey, it's not normal, it's not right. Chazal tell you the wrong thing, and he says, what do you mean? But I did a lot of a virus. And I want to make sure I have a tshiva, so I'm giving all my money. So what's right and wrong? Yeah, but what do you mean? But now people are going to have to help you. Well, maybe they'll have to help me, but first I have to take care of myself. Anyway, my point is just that it's important to understand that some people that are doing what you're describing, putting other people first and caring for everyone, and sometimes it's on the cheshbon of their own family, right, or forget about themselves, some people believe in it, and they have big people that did that, and they're trying to emulate big people. Right? We know about tzaddikim that gave away all their money. They gave away all their money, and they didn't have any money at home. And they were giving away tzedakah all the time. And the story goes that the Rebbetzin was crying, and the children were crying. There was nobody there, and nobody home. You know, with all the stories about Sanzeruv, gave away all his money when his kids needed money. He said, I don't have. Said, what do you mean? You just gave away? Yeah, for that person, yeah. You go collect money. Now, again, we're not on that. I don't think, I'm certainly not on that Madraiga, the Heilige Sanzeruv. But there was such an idea. The Tosha Rebbe, who gave away endless amounts of money, whatever he was able to get his hands on, he gave away for poor people. Crazy stories about it. I mean, when his own yeshiva didn't have money and they turned off the electric because they got discontinued, and they said, Rebbe, why are you not giving us money? The answer was, I don't have. What do you mean? You have everyone else? Yeah, for other people, yeah, not for his own yeshiva. Now, again, I'm not saying it's the right thing to do. I'm just mentioning that there is an idea of people who, of tzaddikim, who felt that, you know, I'll give away everything for everyone else and for those closest to me, for whatever reason. I remember I used to eat when I was a bucher. I used to eat by the Menachem Mandel, Kosov Rebbe in Yishlaim. And he was serving guests every week of his life. I don't know if it was considered on the cheshbon of his wife who had to cook all those meals. But I remember his children and his grandchildren were never able to eat the meal because he didn't let them eat until everyone finished. They were standing and serving. He didn't ask them if they were okay with it. Could be they were. He didn't ask them though. As a matter of fact, when he noticed one of them sitting down to eat something, he was like, why are you sitting? People, not everyone had yet. Get up and serve all the guests, and when they're finished, you'll eat. Now, I don't know if that's made for everyone. And I understand when people definitely feel that it's not the right way to do it, but I'm just saying, we're here today to tell the tale. And there are people that believe that this is the right thing to do, to teach the children and teach those closest to you, that we give ourselves away for other people, and other people come first. And you have all these kind of Achnus HaSarchem stories where people fell in middle of the night and take your kids out of bed, sleep on the floor, there's a guest. Okay, that's how they grew up. Now again, in the storybook, it looks beautiful. It looks like the kids were brought up that way and they believed in it and they felt good about it. It doesn't say in the book that the child started crying because, hey, it's my bed. And what are you doing about it? But in any case, I'm just trying to bring out that sometimes people think they're doing the right thing and they might have an opinion that it's okay for me to do things and be selfless for other people. And sometimes you just have to accept the fact that there's such a perspective. And you have to be respectful of the fact that at least if somebody thinks he's doing the right thing, then at least based on his understanding and his perspective, he really is doing a very selfless, wonderful thing. So instead of being upset at him or looking down at him and thinking something wrong with him, at least respect the fact that in his mind he might be doing something that's very good or very commendable for that matter. It might be a mesias nefesh on his part, right? And same thing, like, interesting. I was in the other shiur, in the Yiddish shiur, I was talking about something similar. You have a tzula member who leaves the house in the middle of a Shabbos meal, Pesach Seder, whatever it is, and he's going to help other people, right? Some people will say, "What do you mean? What's with your family? Did you ask them if they're okay with it?" Other people will say, I'm teaching them. Somebody needs help. Who's going to help them? Somebody just told me recently that his father became Atzula member when his mother was dispatching. So she became a dispatcher. She was dispatching for Atzula. And at some point, he heard that some calls were going unanswered. You have a dispatcher waiting for help, and there's nobody in the neighborhood to help. So he got himself to learn EMT, and he became Atzula member because people need help. Now, what do you mean? But what about the people closest to you? Are they happy with the fact that you're running Atzula calls in the middle of the night or middle of a meal? The answer is that sometimes that's what people do. There's an interesting Tzroi Ramur. He talks about different reasons why Hashem took Eden out of Mitzrayim. And he lists four different reasons why people do favors for others. Whether it's because they want something back for it, or whatever, or they feel the person deserves it. And he shows how Hashem was doing the same thing. He was taking us out of Mitzrayim for these four reasons. Hashem wants that we should serve him because of it, and Hashem felt that we deserved it by then. But the first reason, he says some people do favors because they're good people, and their nature is just pulling them to do this because it's their calling. And Hashem also. Hashem is good and kaviyuchu. By nature, he's pulled to just be matzal yidish kinder. He just had to do it. He had to take the yin out of Mitzrayim. So my point is just that there are people that their calling is to be selfless to everyone and stick up for people and see the good in people. And even when the people around them can't handle it and they're not working along, that's just what they're doing. That's what they believe in doing. And sometimes, as much as people around them don't like it, you just have to accept and maybe even respect that this is what someone else feels is the right thing to do now. Sometimes, though, it's true that the reason the person is doing it is not because that's who he is or what he believes in or what he thinks is right, but he's actually doing it for the wrong reasons. I think that's what the questioner was alluding to. I just wanted to show the different sides of the coin over here. There are people that are so insecure and so desperate for people's approval that they'll do anything for a little attention, and that's why they'll always be, you know, helping everyone just to make sure that everyone's looking at them in the right way. And often these people are not only wrong for doing so, especially for the wrong reason, especially on the cheshbon of those closer to them, because they don't need to believe it's really right. And sometimes these people need help. Sometimes people doing this are helpless and can't overcome that urge to please everyone around and get confirmation and approval and attention. And they don't mean anything bad, but they're just stuck and they don't know how to overcome that. They don't want to turn anyone down because they don't want to be unhappy with them and all that. And then there are those that just maybe by nature, they don't know how to say no. It's not because they want to say yeah or because they're looking for the attention. They just don't know how to say no. And they are slowly becoming resentful about everyone around them. And it's interesting when you hear it. I've heard this many times from people. There are people that are so busy helping everyone that the people around them people are assuming that they like helping and they enjoy helping, and they'll never say no. When you ever ask a question, always, yeah, sure, no problem. And it looks like they're very happy about it. And nobody even thinks they're taking advantage of somebody. Nobody thinks they're abusing anyone. And then all of a sudden, still, hey, when you talk to them like one-on-one, you're like, it's not normal. I'm always the one to do it. And I don't know why people ask me this and I can't handle it. And I'm becoming so resentful and I can't stand it. And I don't want to go there. I don't want to be there. I don't want to be seen. I don't want to be heard. And, you know, okay, so it's a different story. So again, you have somebody who's doing maybe the right thing for the wrong reason on some level, not because they believe it's right or because they like it, but because they just don't know how to say no. And it's actually hurting them. They're not even enjoying the attention, the approval that they're getting because of it. They just don't like what they're doing. Now, whenever you're with someone, whether it's a spouse or it's anyone, whoever it may be, that you feel is doing too much, what you call people-pleasing, helping people too much, it's important to compartmentalize and break it down. If you think the person's overdoing it because it's not normal to do this so much, and then you don't sleep enough, and then you're cranky, and then you're unhappy, as long as it's still that person and that person's decision and that person's life, it's important to realize that they can make whatever choices they want. Whether they're doing it for the right or wrong reasons, you know, to come with the chayichu kodman part and it's not normal what you're doing and I can't handle it, and then to come up with some reason how, well, it's all about, it's affecting me because when you're tired, I don't like it. You have to realize, you have to respect someone's choices. They're not asking you to come along, and they're not doing it in the time that they should have been helping you. They're doing it on other times when they could have been sleeping or working, whatever it is. And so you just have to respect that somebody can make their own choices. Even though they're making mistakes, but they're making their own choices now. Let them make the choice. Forget about if they actually believe in what they're doing, which is they're entitled to an opinion. But even if not, it's important to realize that if somebody's, you know, doing something because they want to, or they choose to, I should say, not want to, not even believe in it, but they choose to, you just have to let them be. And bechlal, to try to help that person, right, when we're getting a little more into the question here, it's not a theoretical question, you want to know what you could do about this, it's important to realize, first of all, it's their choice. So to help someone because I think they need help, I want to help them do what I think is the right thing. First of all, it's their choice if they want to or don't want to do the right thing, what you think is the right thing. And second of all, most often you can't force someone to get help. That's a very sad reality that a lot of people can't swallow. I know this because very often I get calls about this person needs help. How can we get him help? I'm going to send him to you. I'm going to tell him he's going for one reason. You tell him that it doesn't work. You can't force people to get help. So somebody's not looking for help for whatever reason it is. Again, either because he chooses to do what he's doing or he believes in what he's doing. You can't necessarily get him to change how he feels or does or whatever it is. Where it does affect you or affects people around him, that's where you wanna pinpoint, and that's where you wanna deal with it. Don't make one big mumble jumble, one big chulent about it. You know, you're going on atzula calls in the middle of the night, and you also go by day. And by day, you're supposed to be doing this. You shouldn't be atzula member. Oh well, slow down. When it's affecting someone, deal with the part that it's affecting people. Deal with the part that's on other people's cheshbon. Deal with the part that's considered a problem. And I don't think it makes a difference. If somebody means well or doesn't mean well. So many things that people are doing that others don't like, whether they mean well or not, it's only happening because somebody's tolerating it. Right? If somebody's hurting you and screaming at you and abusing you, they're only doing it because you're tolerating it. If you wouldn't have tolerated it, they wouldn't have done it. And the proof is they don't do it to someone else. So if somebody's doing something that you don't like and it's affecting you directly in a negative way, regardless of if they think they're doing the right thing or not doing the right thing, very often it's just because you're letting it happen. So instead of wondering, what's the guy thinking and how could I convince him otherwise and where could we get him to do things differently, it's, what could I do to make sure that this will not affect me or whoever it is that's being affected? When you break it down and you know what it is that you're focusing on, what it is that you're aiming for, yeah, and what your motive is, it just becomes that much easier. Now, whether somebody believes in being so selfless to a point where he's giving himself away for others and not his family, or even if he's doing it just to get people's approval, like I said, it's hard to believe that having a conversation about this or debating about this is going to help. So you're wondering, like, we brought this up already and he didn't respond, he did respond. Don't fool yourself. It's sad when people think that, I'll phrase it this way. No, I'll put it that way. I'll tell them that people said, that people think, that it says over here, it says over there. It's usually not what works. And I think sometimes you just have to give up. You have to give up on trying to convince someone to do things differently if you already tried many times to convince them. Now sometimes the person is waiting to get help. But the way to help them is not by convincing them. The way to help them is by making sure that they realize that they can't do it again. I know somebody who was giving a lot of tzedukah, I think too much tzedukah, to a point where he wasn't left with money, and he was giving more than he could, and he was borrowing, he was falling into debt. And he wasn't doing it because he wanted it, he was doing it because he didn't know how to say no. And with the proper guidance and the right Das Torah, when the people around him just took away the checkbook, and didn't open the door, and didn't pick up the phones, and made sure that he wasn't giving money, he was actually thankful. It wasn't about... For as long as there was debates going on and explaining going on and telling him how not normal it is and how he should stop, that wasn't helping. For whatever reason, it wasn't helping. Either because he couldn't help himself or because he didn't know how to help himself or whatever it is. When somebody actually stepped in and said, no, this won't go on anymore, and didn't allow it to happen, again, with the right guidance, you have to be careful how you do these things, but it was actually a big help and he appreciated the help because this was really what he wanted to do all along. Another thing, before we get to... too controlling over here and too not tolerating is something to think about. When somebody's people-pleasing for attention or for approval, not always could you compete with it, but sometimes when you think about it, why is this person doing all this? What are they getting? What's he getting for all this? He's doing all this work, he's making sure everyone's happy, he's always giving himself away for other people. Is it because he gets a lot of attention for it? Is he getting that kind of attention at home? Now, not everything is about attention, I know. The reason why you help your family or you're dedicated and loyal to your family is not because you're getting attention for it. But at the end of the day, people need attention and like acknowledgement. And there are some people that just never get it at home. And if somebody's not getting any attention at home, and he's getting it elsewhere, and he's feeling like a shmata for a reason, then sometimes instead of taking away that little bit of approval and acknowledgement that he does get, compete with it. Give him a lot of attention, a lot of acknowledgement for being helpful at home, for example, or to the people closest to him, and maybe he won't need as much outside approval. That's something to think about. And in general, this is always something to think about when it comes to children, when it comes to other people. When somebody's performing differently or better somewhere else, instead of fighting it and being insulted and taking it personally, just try to figure out why that's happening. What is it that's so tempting? Maybe sometimes you could compete with it. Maybe not. But it's important to try. Now, in terms of communicating, I think the first thing you want to do, instead of unproductive debating, is compliment the person for being selfless. If somebody's giving himself away for other people, instead of telling him how wrong it is and how weird it is and how it doesn't make sense, tell him that you're amazed and so impressed by how he's trying to help everyone. You get a lot further when you make people feel good than when you're busy fighting them and putting them down. That's not a question. Then, whatever part it is that's affecting you directly, of course you can be very firm, very clear about, this is very hard for me. It's very hard for me where this affects me. Don't go into if it's right or wrong. Talk about yourself and be very clear. What happens when you debate is, if it's right or wrong, first of all, you're making somebody get defensive, so they can't even hear what you're saying because you're basically telling them that they're doing the wrong thing, and they don't want to be doing the wrong thing, so they're trying to make sure you don't think they're doing the wrong thing. But automatically, it's challenging. It's challenging. You're doing the wrong thing. I'm not doing the wrong thing. Yeah. When you don't debate and you talk about yourself, you're not challenging anyone. You're talking about how you feel. But more than that, when people debate, they're not being clear. They're not saying, I can't handle this. They're saying, it's wrong. It almost sounds like they're saying, well, I would handle it and tolerate it if it was right, but I believe it's wrong. Okay, so you're not telling me that you can't handle it or that you can't tolerate it or that you won't. You're just telling me it's wrong. So I can tell you, I think it's right. And if it's right, then I'm doing the right thing because it's right. But on the contrary, it could be it's right. I can't handle it. Please don't do it. When someone's that clear and that firm about the fact that they don't want it to happen, and they can handle it, regardless if it's right or wrong, now it's less challenging, and it's more clear that you can handle it, and very often, people will take you more seriously like that. So instead of saying, well, I don't want to say it's about me, I want to talk in theory, it's easier for me to debate the idea than to be vulnerable and say, I can't handle it, once it's about me. Yes, it's about you. It's about the fact that you can handle something. And sometimes you actually would like to, let's call it, take control over your own life, again, with the right guidance, but sometimes you don't realize how much you're tolerating something. So this is the wrong example, and I don't mean this, but if your husband's running on hatzalah calls in the middle of a Shabbos meal, and you're waiting until he comes back to continue the meal, as opposed to saying, listen, you can go wherever you want, but I'm going on with the meal, which is usually okay, most families, my point is just that you don't have to wait for somebody to work along with you necessarily. As long as you say that when this happens, I'll be doing things the other way, very often that alone, I hope what I just said was understood. I'm afraid sometimes when I talk about this, not to get too clear, but the point is that tolerating something doesn't just mean that you're ignoring it and letting it happen. It actually means that you don't realize how much you're working along with it. So if somebody's doing something on your cheshbon to please other people, and you say, listen, that's a wonderful thing that you're doing, it's really hard for me. If you do that, then I'm going to have to do something else just to take care of myself, and you can continue doing what you're doing. When somebody sees you're not working along, very often, a lot of this will stop. I do want to say that you want to make sure you're not making a bigger issue out of something than it is, or calling too much attention to a problem if it isn't really so bad. Which means sometimes there are things that are just irking you, that somebody's people-pleasing, or that somebody's doing something you don't like, and it's not really terrible. But you make such a big deal about it, and it turns into something terrible, and you're making a commotion out of something. Especially in this case, where it doesn't sound like it's a husband. It doesn't sound like it's a husband, I don't know. Maybe it's your brother, maybe it's this, maybe it's that. I don't know who it is. But sometimes it's not geschmack to watch it happen. You wish you can get more validation, or the person could be a little more reasonable. But talking about it, and hashing about it, and discussing it with people, and making it into a bigger problem than it is, is worse than keeping quiet, because you're just turning a tissue into an issue. And sometimes it's just better to learn to accept if you have to, instead of turning something into a big argument and debate. So I just want to recap. The first thing I said is that everything is relative. When somebody's doing something in a way that you don't believe in, think about it. He might believe it's the right thing to do. There might be some truth to his opinion, even if you don't think so. And it might be that he's doing it for other reasons, which he can't even help himself. But also, just understand that some people are doing things for whatever reason they're doing it. And if it's a personal thing, it's not affecting you. It's already something where you have to let people be, and you can't force them to change. And where it is affecting you, and specifically affecting you, then instead of having debates about right or wrong, just be clear, be helpful. You might be helping that person by putting your foot down, especially if they don't really want to be doing what they're doing. And be very gentle and complimenting and nice, yet firm. And hopefully, when you deal with things the right way, you definitely get a lot further. Instead of wondering why people are doing things the way they are. And like I ended off before, I think that sometimes you don't want to make a bigger issue out of something than you should. So just to go back to the initial thing we started with, Hashem definitely wants us to know not to make that matzaiva, where we always do the same thing, we always give other people, and we always take other people very seriously, or the other way around, we never take anyone seriously because we're always doing what's best for our family. We have to be flexible, we have to apply the middos and the ideas that Hashem gives us in appropriately, in the right times, the right places, and hopefully when we get it right, and we do the right things for the right reasons at the right times, we'll be able to live together. Have a good one.